Hallelujah. Would you just lift those hands up a little bit? We magnify you and glorify you. We exalt you, Jesus. Worthy. Worthy, Jesus. Worthy, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. Hallelujah.
Glory to
you. The 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God and sat on the throne saying, Amen. Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God and all ye servants and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. It's a voice of many waters. And the voice of a mighty thundering saying, Hallelujah. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come. And His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are true sayings of God. And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was faithful and true. And righteousness, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed with fine, white, and clean linen. Hallelujah. Fine linen, white, and clean. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword. And with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule with them with a rod of iron and tread down the winepresses of the fierce, with fierceness and wrath of the Almighty God. Hallelujah. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he that will dwell with them, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, two more verses. And he said unto me, It is done. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. And he that overcometh shall inherit all things. And I will be his God, and he shall be my son.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Father. This thing is getting closer. He's coming back for us. And And that kingdom is going to come here sooner than we think. But sandwiched in between is a great revival. It's amazing how doctrines change when life proves them out. We're going to continue to worship. When a certain group started out, a religious group many years ago, if I said the name you'd know, they were campaigning for 144,000 people, converts. When they got those, they realized that their doctrine was wrong, and so they changed their doctrine to say that these were something else. They were governors to be part of the end time events. When I was a kid growing up, the prevailing by many, not all, was when it gets to be real bad, when it starts to get real bad, we'll be called out of here. Now you can do away with that one, because it's already gotten real bad. And it's going to get worse. But greater is He that's in us. And the darker it gets out there, the more light in here.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
So I don't know. Oh, yeah. I was on a flight coming into Killeen, Texas a few years ago. And I was sitting next to a bunch of boys. They were coming in from, I don't know, Afghanistan, some of them maybe. Iraq, a bunch of them. They had their fatigues on. I got to talking to them. They were coming into Fort Hood, and some of them had served two or three terms in Iraq. I felt honored to sit there with them. The whole plane was full of them. But I broke down like a baby when I saw them, when they got to the end of the corridor and their wives and their children began to hug them and embrace them. I just stood there and watched it. It was something to behold. Now think about a day and hour that you live where your soldiers can live and survive the field and the field of fight of duty. And then come home, some of them, after two or three tours of duty, and be shot by their own servicemen. You know, the massacre that just took place at Fort Hood. That's where it was at. Man just went in there with a rampage. A couple days, a rampage in Orlando. It's not getting any better out there. Tribulation is coming. But greater is He that's in us.
Thank you, Lord.
Than he that's in the world.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah to God. See, there's a fast track and a slow track. Now, if you want to get on the fast track, that's everything that He is, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And that'll take you right into everything He is, right on up to the last day when we're here on this planet Earth. But if you choose the slow track, if you choose to say, I don't have time to go into God. Sometimes people say, what's all this that's come at my life? I didn't ask for this. No, you may not have asked for all of that. But when you choose not to get strong, you're choosing to be weak.
Amen.
Well, I didn't choose to be weak. Oh, yeah, you chose to be weak when you decided not to be strong.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
And you can be born again and filled with the Spirit and know the Word. And all this stuff that's going to happen in the last days is going to put extreme amount of fear in your heart. But I can tell you this, if you'll go into God now,
hallelujah,
all the way to the end, The lamp of the righteous.
Thank you, Jesus.
Burneth brighter and brighter.
Hallelujah.
Unto a more perfect day. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let me read this to you. After sharing these scriptures right here out of the book of Revelation, I said we were going to worship, didn't I? Matt knows where we're going. Somebody gave me this recently. I won't say who. But that's a person I trust. They publicly saw some things in the Spirit even before. Publicly saw the spoke some things and saw the dream of the falling of the Twin Towers before it ever happened. I want to read this to you. Just take a minute, 2 minutes. I was here in my home at such and such a place when I started hearing loud noises. Standing on my front lawn, I looked up into the sky and saw all manner of catastrophe. I saw lightnings, meteors, earthquakes, volcanoes, high winds, floods, tornadoes, and large ocean waves. It just seemed unreal that those things could be all happening at the same time. Said person and other said persons and other people were with me, but I don't remember who they were when I woke up. All of us especially remembering, all of us, especially remembering myself, I was filled with joy and I had my arms straight up in the air, starting to jump up and down, praising God for all that I was seeing. I was saying, oh, praise God, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the more the horrible things happened, the more I praised God. I couldn't stop myself, nor any of the others on the lawn. A strange thing that was there, all these disasters were happening. It was dark, like at night, but because of all of this, these things happening, you could see what was going on. The wonderful thing was that high in the sky, up behind the sky, it was so very beautiful. It was bright with lots of colors, and I knew in my heart it was heaven. Then I knew that all the things that were happening were just a sign of Jesus' return, and that we didn't. One line cut off. Something glorify his name, and he was going to take care of us, those of us who were the Lord's and knew him. I had a feeling that even if any of these things killed me, it would be that I would not be afraid because Jesus was in me. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I had an overwhelming feeling of joy knowing that Christ was soon to come and get his people. These things weren't to be afraid of, but rejoiced for the coming of our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. Well, there's an epidemic. Sure is. It's not H1N1. It's the world. It's creeping. It's trying to devour the church. Daddies are leaving homes. People are going this way and that way. But the people that know their God, Daniel 11:32, shall be strong.
Hallelujah.
We'll burn like lights in the last day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what? We get a chance. You know, we used to say, praise God. But the Bible says, he that dwelleth in the secret place. Look, there are going to be millions of Christians that are going to be wishing they won't be able to survive. Many of them will go on home to be with him. But it's not just being born again and living in the world like the world that will devour you. It'll be those of you and us who in this last day say, Jesus, with all this coming on the earth, I'm not only going to survive, I'm going to thrive. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we just got to worship a little more. Something happened here Friday night, and Friday night's not even a regular service. A bunch of kids got born again and got filled with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now sit or stand, but I don't think you're going to be able to sit very long. Let's just worship God. Let's just magnify Him. Get ready to go into what He has for us this week. I worship You, Jesus. I magnify You, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank You, Jesus.
Before we're seated, sometimes He'll lead me like this. A few, not hardly, but He wants us to pray for our nation and for our president. Could you do that? Could you stand with me in honor of that office? Hallelujah. Would you just direct your praise to Him to start with, and let's worship God. We exalt You, Jesus. We glorify You.
Yes, Lord.
And we magnify You, Jesus.
We exalt You.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
We bless You, Lord.
Hallelujah, Father. Right now, for everyone that'll stand in their hearts. But You told us in Timothy to lift up and pray for all kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a godly and peaceable life. So Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, not out of malice, that You will not hear our prayer, but out of the heart that desires to see change. So now, in the name of Jesus, we bless our president, Father.
Yes.
We pray, Father, blessings over him in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that he might be born again.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. And that he might be filled with the power of heaven in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Christ. We pray that You'll visit him, Lord. We take this opportunity in the authority of the saints to lift him up and pray that the eyes of his understanding will be opened up and that he will see the wisdom of Christ. Father, we pray that all the plans of the enemy might be aborted in the name of Jesus. We pray that every false way will come to nothing. We pray that every plan that destroys, Lord God, would have Your hand against it in the name of Jesus. We pray that, Lord God, that You'll lay Your hand heavy against all the plans of the enemy.
Yes,
and
Lord,
bring them low in the name of Jesus.
Yes,
but we pray that righteousness, Lord God, might be lifted up. And
yes,
Father,
Lord,
we thank You and we give You all the praise.
Hallelujah.
And all the glory.
Thank You,
in
Lord.
Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Jesus.
You may be seated. Thank You, Jesus. Haven't had the opportunity in the past to enjoy Christ in her, you're in for a treat. And she's going to be ministering today, tonight, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. She is, I'll say this. When I go to the conferences, I better watch this. I might get in trouble. I was just going to say that probably of all hands that's ever been laid on me, and there was something that just absolutely rocked my world in the spirit. Somebody close up here was the one doing the praying over me. Hallelujah. So I would encourage you, if there are grace lines called for ingrown toenails this week, that you get involved in it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. But right now, we're gonna wait on you and let you bless the church with the morning offering. You want to bring that up here. Hallelujah. Why don't you just go inward inside yourself and ask Him what He'd have you to give. Maybe you've been praying about that. Maybe you know before you got here. But the one that we serve supernaturally, that song that we just sang, He who holds the seven stars in His hands. That's the seven churches of the book of Revelation. That's you and I. We're all in there. That's the entire New Testament church. So He holds us in His hands. He doesn't. When you begin to ask Him, Father, I say that You supply all of my need according to Your riches and glory by one Christ Jesus. He doesn't turn around to the Father and say, can we do that now? Because it's 2009 going into 10 and, you know, there's a big recession out there and I don't know if that's possible. You know He doesn't do that. You know it's all supplied by His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So that same place that He holds all the church in His hand, He's holding you and your family and all your provision. So right now, Father, we just offer this up. We thank You for this opportunity, this grace is made manifest in us. So flow through us. Now speak to our hearts, and we thank You for it. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We're going to give You the opportunity to bring this down, and as Matt's going to give us something. And then why don't you just take just a moment, because we're going to bring Donner on in just a little bit, and we don't want you to miss that. But why don't you take just a moment to give some big hugs and to get ready for what God has to say to us. Okay, you can stand, if you would, please. Hallelujah. And when you're ready, you can bring this down. Okay. Hallelujah. Well, glory. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You for Your anointing, Jesus. Thank You for Your anointing. I worship You, Jesus. Won't You stretch Your faith this way? We'll just bless it. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to lift these things up. Immokalee is saved. Immokalee is in revival. And I say, the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, demoniacs are set free, maimed are made whole, dead are raised, and the born again are by the millions. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Now that's all. You say, well, there's not millions in Immokalee. Oh, no, but when television? Oh, my. Hallelujah, Jesus. We bless it, Father. Thank You in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Why don't you just lift your hands for a moment and see if you can get all that off of you. Whatever, I'm not talking about the glory. Just separate and sanctify your mind, wherever it's at. Go ahead and pull that fish out of the water, skin him and cook him right now. Whatever anybody had your mind going down that, if you're fixing a problem right now, go ahead and nail it all together. Fix it. It's over. Hallelujah. Finish the fight. You got the last word in. Okay, it's over. Father, we worship You and glorify You. I exalt You, Jesus. Right now, begin to sanctify us. Set us apart for these services. I thank You, Father, for great grace coming. And Lord, Your covering over us by Your grace and glory. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we want to welcome Miss Donner. She has been with us two or three times before. I'm going to tell you, please avail yourself as much as you can this week. We have a tremendous opportunity to go into God. And this is one of those ones where I know that the Holy Spirit spoke to me way back probably in February. And I called her after the fast and said, I really believe God wants you to come, and would you pray about it? She goes, no, I don't have to. I know. supposed to be. So she'll be here tonight speaking to our youth. You're all totally welcome to come. Homer's asked her to come and speak to the youth. A lot of the kids in Immokalee, their homes, they come from an origin of voodoo, witchcraft, those kinds of things. And Donna will be the perfect person to speak to them. Among her many other gifts that God has given to her, like He's given to you, to work in the Spirit, she has a strong miracles ministry. All the glory to God, but many, 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 many wonderful miracles take place through her ministry. The prophetic gift is also very prevalent in her. So we're just glad that she's here. And hallelujah. This is we've had 6 days all year long, 365 days, calendar days, and we've had 6 days of unscheduled services this year. Besides for the Sunday and Wednesdays, we had one other person that was Christy, and now Miss Donner. So I would hope that these next 3 days you'd support as much as possible for your benefit. Hallelujah. The beautiful woman of God, Miss Donner Roberson, would you give her a great hand? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Maybe I need a step. I have to grow up here. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you that it cannot and will not return void. And Lord, it will accomplish everything we ask it to do. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
There is so much peace and so much anointing here. I was thinking, I said, I could just curl up in a ball and go to sleep. Is it, and for me, that's different, you know. I always get blessed when I come here because people are hungry here and receptive. All the worshiping and all the praying that you guys do just make it awesome. You know, because we all have our trials and tribulations. Every place isn't this easy to speak in. I was sharing with Bronk and Candy the other day. I actually threw a fit one time. Only once. At least in the last 2 years. You know, we are all growing up in God, right? I'd gone through a time where I did a lot of deliverance day and night for several years, you know. And they wanted to hang on to their last devil. Really made me mad. So I went to New England, you know, one of my favorite witch countries. I'm still going to go there someday and go into their churches because they're pretty open there. They got their own little satanic witch churches. And I thought one of these days I'm going to go there and go, hallelujah, Jesus, and see if the presence of the Lord comes so strong that they can't throw me out. Otherwise, I'm going to have to learn to tuck and roll. You know, we used to do that in the bars. You get thrown out, you just tuck and roll. Usually I could run out the door before the cops got there. Not that I'd ever be in trouble. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. But you know, God, He just does wonderful things. But I was sharing with Bronk and Candy, and the little fit that I threw, I said, pacing around, I'm going, Lord, I just don't care if I ever cast out another devil. I don't care. Don't want to. I'll just go and pray for the sick. I'll sit in hospitals and pray. Not that there's not a lot of devils there. But that Friday night, the first meeting I had, two women came fully loaded. If there's cars, they'd have been Cadillacs. And one was screaming and bouncing off the floor. Supernatural. She was bouncing up and down on the floor, cussing and screaming, and I busted out laughing. I couldn't help myself. I said, Lord, I guess we're still in the business, aren't we? The other one, she had a spirit of violence and anger, and you know, you just reach down and you touch them with your finger and you go, it's safe to touch Bronk. All his devils are gone. I love Brahm. You just touch them and you're laughing and you go, you got to go in the name of Jesus, you know, and they just kind of will fall out and be quiet. That's what I love about the Lord. I really took it serious when he said you could do these things with the mere fingertip of God. Everybody that holds them down and screams and does these body slams needs to go into wrestling, not deliverance. I learned a lot of that when I was a witch. Doesn't surprise some of you, does it? I look so innocent. Some of your witches are real nice. They don't all come in with a big wart on their nose and a black hat. Actually, they got so mad at how they're portrayed, they wanted to sue the mask company that made the green wart on the nose kind of mask. And I said, but inside you really do look like that. Maybe not on the outside, but on the inside. You know, we're pretty ugly on the inside when we're serving Satan. And then I know a lady that says, but I was a good witch. And I said, there's no such thing, honey. Oh, no, I was a good one. And I said, nah, we used to have you good ones for lunch, and you still weren't no good. So, you know, anything that pulls you away from God is not good. Amen? So I told him, I said, when you were a good witch, I said, didn't you put spells and incantations on people so they'd be mesmerized and they'd fall in love with people they shouldn't be with? Well, yes. Shame on you. But there's a whole list of different styles of witchcraft. See, when I was in Africa, they didn't believe. They actually didn't believe Americans did witchcraft. When I was in Kenya, they go, no, no, no. And I go, yes, yes, yes. I said, we have the elite of it. I said, we have everything, and we merged and made our own hybrid breed. It permeates and saturates the airwaves. It saturates the state, the county, the town that you live in. And most Christians will stick their head in the sand. That's an ostrich devil, by the way. And always expect someone else to take care of it. Everybody used to say, well, you know, it's not that big a deal. We got the name of Jesus. And I said, yeah, but most of you don't believe in the authority of that name. I know, because I used to torment Christians. And I didn't run into any during that time in my life that was anointed enough to make me want to change. Isn't that sad? Matter of fact, they trembled in fear by the time I got done. You know, I'd torment them. I'd tell them, I'll give you to the town of three to get out of here. I could count the three. One, two, and on the word of three, I'd stick a big 120-pound dog on them and watch them scream and run. Interrupt while I'm talking, okay? No, just in the name of Jesus, we take authority over you. But the truth of the matter is most of, when it comes to anything, most Christians really don't understand their authority. We have it. We have it. I could, yeah. Is it on now?
Turn this one off. Kind of wild, though. You might get hit with this thing.
Okay.
Here you go, sir. Good to see you again. Looks like a big drumstick if you're hungry. Sorry. My mind goes in 50 different places all at once. Thank you, Jesus. We're hungry for the word, aren't we? Okay, this is a Holy Ghost drumstick. Back on authority, though, most Christians really don't know, even over sickness, disease, devils. You know, they think some people are just specially anointed to do this. You know, you're special. I know, but still. No, I'm kidding. Candy, you're special. You know, we all are to God. Everybody walks in that same God-given authority as anyone else. You just have to believe you do. Amen? And it does take a relationship with God. It does take fellowship with God. I have so many people that I pray for, and they'll say, oh, I feel the presence of the Lord. I know I'm free. And then I'll get a call 2 days later going back over the same thing. Well, we got to pray over this. And I said, we already did. Well, it's back. And I said, why'd you let it back? They don't like it when you ask them questions like that. I said, when Satan come to try your ground, did you agree with him? Maybe. Must have done something. He's back. And sometimes he'll just keep trying. You got to keep rebuking him. We'd have to fire him if he gave up that easy. Say, you bad devil. You know you're a good devil. You just quit real easy, didn't you? There's no such thing as a good devil. Amen? How many of you rejoice though when you're under fire? Oh, the joy of the Lord is my strength. You don't know how bad it was. Yes, I do. He wants to get you on every corner. Every corner. Every time the Lord gives you something good, He'll come in and try to erase it. I know I was all excited. So many good things last April happened in Canada. I'm on fire. And I'm like, yes, got to hurry up and get home. It's going to be my oldest granddaughter's birthday. I get home on the 13th of April, her birthday's the 14th, and the same day we got an eviction notice. You got 45 days to get out. It wasn't because I was doing anything bad. I always paid my rent on time. But prior to that, see, if you're listening to the Holy Spirit, He warns you. I told my granddaughter, I said, I'd really like to find another house before you start back to school. I just don't want to spend another winter in this one. And so I just didn't know I'd have to find it within 45 days and be out. But the good news is the Lord provided. See, instead of getting mad, we sat there and cracked up. I said, we're evicted. Happy birthday. Wow. My granddaughter's getting used to me now. But it was funny because we looked at all these houses. We were looking around. We decided we wanted to buy. I had so much money in savings. I think it was $200. And then I started laughing again. And I said, I don't know how you're going to do this, Lord, but it's going to be real interesting. So we're looking all over at these houses, and we have a set thing in mind. I needed 4 bedrooms. I needed an office because I was tired of sleeping in my office. You never quit working when you do that. I think even in my sleep I was doing stuff, you know. We were out on a hunt, and there was a house that wasn't even on our list, and we went to look at it. The neighbor said it had been on. They didn't know why it didn't sell. I said, because God was holding it for me, silly thing. Then the real estate agent that I used was a Christian. So he was getting kind of used to my outburst. And when I looked in it, see, I always wanted a big kitchen because I like to cook. I like to feed lots of people. Bronk and them can tell you that. They've been in my house once or twice during conferences. I can have as many as up to nearly 40 people over. So I'm going, I didn't even look at the rest of the house. I saw the kitchen and I said, that's it. That's our house. Then when I finally calmed down and looked at the rest of it, it fit all the criteria. 4 bedrooms, an extra room, study room. And I was just so excited. And then all we had to do is do a down payment. And I'm worshiping God and talking, and the Lord provided a down payment. Somebody had spoke to someone's heart a year prior and said, when she's finally finds a house and she's ready to buy, the Lord spoke to them to put the down payment down for me. And it wasn't a loan. I don't ever have to pay it back. So see, God does provide. But when you go house hunting with $200 in savings, people think you're a little crazy. I was so excited because God gave me that house. Amen. It took both me and my granddaughter to qualify, but we did it. Amen. And now it's ours. And the devil's still attacking. Goofy thing. I don't know how God's going to turn this one around to the good, but, you know, then they put a lien on my house. I said, Lord, I haven't even had it that long. I just got it in June. Now they already got a lien on it. And then I had them run my Social Security through. I knew I paid them people off years ago and found out it was just someone else with my name. And they still don't want to take it off. See, that's the devil. He don't ever want to let go. He'll sink his little rotten teeth in and clamp on. And you got to shake him real hard and kick him a few times. And, you know, when I go home, I'm going to stomp on him and get that lien off my house. Amen. He always wants to destroy your credibility. That's just the way he works. So if you go in and you're telling somebody, oh, life will be just peaches and cream after you get born again. I like to slap people that preach like that. You enter into a war. And if you don't train yourself up in the way you... Why do you think they're so diligent? Like, I love, you know, Fort Hood. My brother Steve was there before he was sent to Vietnam. So, you know, that makes it come home to you when you've had relatives that served there. And I told him, I said, every war has casualties. And the ones that usually get hit, sometimes, not always, but sometimes they weren't properly trained on how to recognize where the enemy is. Or it's taken for granted because somebody said, oh, it's going to be peace today. We've had a ceasefire. And so everybody lets their guard down and a torpedo blows them out of the water, you know. I've seen a lot of Christians do that. Well, I feel good. I feel healthy. I feel great. I don't need to pray today. You know, all my needs were met today. I'll just go somewhere and shop till I drop, watch 3 or 4 movies. You know, and all that stuff is fun, except the shopping. I'm not a real shopper, as you can tell. But I told him, I said, but the thing of it is nothing like that is going to destroy you, but you really need to make sure you have that quality time with the Lord. One of the biggest things he's been speaking to my heart lately is worship. Get back into worship. See, when they told me I was going to die the last time, I spent 5 hours a day in worship. I love it. I did that more than I meditated the Word, which is all good to do. But actually, at that time, he just said, worship and pray in the Spirit. Worship, pray in the Spirit. And he's telling me that again. I've been having a lot of dreams myself about our young people being attacked unto death again. The last time I had that dream, I called the church and told them, I said, I see a big black tidal wave coming in called death and destruction, and I don't know everywhere it's going to hit. During the time that it hit, I lost a niece and a nephew. Some friends of mine lost a grandson. Another woman lost her sister. I lost 2 people down in Florida that I love. So that wave hit, and we had it on the prayer chain and was praying. Can you imagine how much worse it would have been if nobody was praying? God's faithful, but we have to believe in what He's doing. We have to take our authority and come against the enemy at all times. This last trip to Canada, I got to enlighten people about witchcraft. I have things that can make your hair curl and straighten again. You know, our favorite bookstore sold over 100,000 voodoo dolls against George Bush. Finally, the Christians raised such a stink, they finally took them out of their store. And I'm not going to name the store because obviously they've repented. But you can get these things over the internet any given time. That was New Orleans' retaliation about how they didn't like how things were handled after Katrina. My friend Bernard, you know Bernard, he sent me an email showing that the French president over there, people were practicing voodoo over in France against him. He even took it to court, and the courts would do nothing to him. But now if that fringe president would have turned around and said, well, I'm going to cast that devil out of them in the name of Jesus, I'm pretty sure they probably would have attacked him then, you know, and said, you can't do that, because if you've noticed, all our rights are getting taken away. You can study any kind of religion in school except Christianity. And they all said, I love this one. When I was in Canada, I met with a lady that was total New Age. Oh, but I'm a good person, she said. And she was. She's a real nice lady, you know. She said, I speak to my spirits on what I do every day. And I said, yeah, I used to send those kind of spirits out. And I said, eventually they'll take you to hell. And she got kind of concerned looking. She says, well, I'm a good person. I believe in a universal power. And I said, the only power is Jesus and God the Father and the Holy Spirit. I said, you want to talk and have a spirit guide? Try the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. And she said, oh, you're giving me goosebumps. She's from Czechoslovakia. She said it with a real strong accent. I liked it the way she said it. But she got real alarmed because they really believe that stuff. I said, you know, you're not going to rub Buddha's belly and have any luck. It's just, you know, Buddha's not going to heaven. All the Buddha followers aren't going to make it. And I told him, I said, the one stand that you make really needs, no matter what. And sometimes your family will depart from you. Sometimes all your friends will leave, and sometimes your church will turn over in fast numbers when you stand on the truth. See, my family thought I was a nut. They're right. Crazy for Jesus. They were used to me being mean. They were used to me operating in witchcraft. And when I laid it all down, they thought I was crazy. Watched me for years to make sure I wasn't just, you know, trying a new thing. When I got healed of cancer, woke them up a little. They don't know what to do with you when you stand for the truth. I mean, my kids, I feel sorry for them. I wasn't a good mom at all. I mean, I loved them and protected them with the knowledge that I had, but my knowledge was zero. You know, I'm amazed that any of them serve God from what they've seen me do. Like I told that little lady, you send out these little spirits, you listen to these little spirits. I said, what are they going to do when they tell you to kill yourself? What are you going to do when they tell you to attack somebody? Because you're going to be so tuned into your spirit guides, you don't know where they'll take you. Scares people. I have another lady now that used to be a Christian, backslid, got into this New Age junk. And it is trash. And she named her voices. I called, name one more and you'd have the Three Stooges, you know. Larry, Curly, and Moe. It's crazy. But I tell them, but it's these people sincerely believe in that universal power. Everybody's going to go to heaven. Everybody's going to go. I thought, how can you even believe in heaven if you don't believe in God? Good question, huh? That we're just going to live forever and you'll never die, right? But I told him, I said, the sad part of it is there's too many people. We're losing tons going to hell by the handfuls because nobody will stand for God. You might get arrested for a hate law if you tell them homosexuality is a sin. And I still do. I said, don't forget the other stuff, though, like adultery, gluttony, and all that stuff. You know, all of it's a sin. I'd never heard of any hate law coming up against gluttony. Restaurants had just shut them down. You know? And besides that, all those chickens that were sacrificed would be in vain. You don't know how many of them were sacrificed for you. So I tell myself, but you don't hear a hate law save the chickens. Do you? No. And if they pass that through, you'd have happy cow disease. But see, our whole world is twisted. It's twisted. There's nothing sane about this world. Years ago, about the same time, right before 9/11, I had a dream too about, and I went and told my brother, I had it documented. I said, I dreamed terrorism hit our country. And it did, a year and a half later. Then I dreamed that there was somebody standing on, these soldiers were standing on flatbed trucks with bullhorns, pointing at groups of people and having them hauled away. And when I got to really looking, it was Christians they were hauling away. I dreamed that Mount Rainier reactivated again, and my brother Steve's an archaeologist, historian kind of guy. And he started laughing. He said, nah, it's been dormant for 600 years. 6 months after I had the dream, they said it reactivated. Could you imagine the disaster if that thing blew up? It would cover all of Washington State, going to Oregon, over to Idaho. It would be a mess. But I dreamed there'd be a lot of tribulations like that. So, and I also dreamed that it blew up in my lifetime. We keep having all those underground earthquakes. It shifts every one of those volcanoes. You could see it. The only communication you had with your loved ones was via the Holy Spirit, because all the lines were shut down. You can't send an email if there's no power. You can't send an, you can't get anybody on the phone if the lines are down or the towers are over. So I think it would be very wise to keep ourselves built up in the Holy Spirit. Amen. Building that most holy faith, not waiting until the last minute while the lava is chasing you, kind of singeing some stuff, going, okay, I'm going to pray now, send the flood. So, Noah, Ark, somebody help. You know, we're not going to do that. We have to be ready. We've got to get ready. And instead of freaking out over every trial and every tribulation that comes your way, you should be rejoicing that you're a worthy adversary of the devil. Amen? If my life was peaceful, I'd think I was dead. You know, we can die to self, go to glory, but really if my life was that peaceful, I'd wonder what was wrong. I can't think of a time that I haven't been under fire. And a dream I had about the Lord one time, I was walking. How many of you know how hard it is to walk in gravel? Especially if it's steep, it's like walking in, I don't know, you slip, you slide, it's hard. You can't dig in, because the more you dig in, the more you slide. And so I dreamed I was walking up this mountain, and I was talking to Sue and Gary Carpenter, and I, in the dream I said, yeah, I said, sometimes we give the people too much meat and they choke on it. You know, they have to grow up in Jesus. They can't just, you know, You can't tube all your knowledge down them as much as you'd like to. The only one that can give them and redo them quickly would be the Holy Spirit, be Jesus. Otherwise, you got to grow them up like you do your babies. And God's trying His best to get us to grow up, you know, and I'm all for it. But I dreamed I was talking to them, and we were going, I looked at them at the base of the mountain, and I left, and I said, well, I got to go now in the dream. And I was trying to walk up this mountain. I was climbing. A lot of work. There was a rest stop, and I stopped to rest, and the Lord in the dream said, don't rest here. I went into the bathroom to go freshen up, and every stall that opened up, there was devils in it, just waiting. He said, you can't rest here. So I went up to the next level. Same thing, don't rest. So all these stalls burst open. You know, you're just trying to freshen yourself up a little bit, and all these devils come out. And he said, keep going. Don't stop here. Don't stop. So I get to the top of the mountain, and it's like a saddle of a horse, you know, a horse saddle. And I sat in it, and the eagles were flying all around. And he said, as far as the eye can see, he said, you can have it for the kingdom of God. And I'm like, hallelujah. And I was up there on that mountain worshiping God in the dream. It was awesome. Because we can claim and invade Satan's territory. Amen? You don't have to personally go there. You can pray and send the word, and it'll go there for you. And it will activate somebody on the other end to carry out what you need to carry out. And if you're supposed to go, he'll send you. I love it. But we've got to know we are in a war. You know, it doesn't mean we can't be rejoicing and happy. And I love David because he was always worshiping God in the midst of some of the worst battles he's ever in. I liked it with Daniel too. I can understand more and more how he could go to sleep in a lion's den. You know, if you really know that God's going to hold their mouth shut, you'd have all sorts of peace. Of course, with me, I'd always tell them, be sure you check their claws, Lord. They're big. Don't let them eject. But, you know, it's just, we know that we know that we know God's in control. He never said there wouldn't be trials. He never said it was just going to be easy. What he did say is we could enter into a realm of peace that passes all understanding, knowing he's going to give us the answer. Amen. He's a restoring God. I've been seeing a lot of restoration, even in my own family. But one of my favorite ones was an older couple I ministered to in Canada. They wanted to speak to me because they were getting ready to split up. Here they're in their 70s. They've only been married 10 years, but see, what we do with our past is we bring all that baggage to the next level if you don't let the Lord get rid of it for you. You know, some of you need those baggage carts to carry it. I'm getting down to a carry-on. So, but you know, everybody has it if the truth is known. You know, I love it when the preachers get up there and it's all God and their life is perfect. And then they come out of their closet and blow their whole theory. No. But this couple, I got to talking to them and praying with them, and we broke off all the stuff from the past because there was a spirit involved. And you could watch her skin go from a gray to a pink when she realized she could be restored. So before I left Canada, they come up to me, and they was just real, you know how people in love act, kind of, you know, well, kind of like when Bronk looks at Candy. They just look like they're in another planet, you know, all giddy and cute. They were looking at each other that way. So sweet. And they asked me if I'd renew their vows. I was so excited. What an honor, isn't it? So they renewed their vows. And they're starting off and starting fresh. They both agreed to leave the past where it belonged. Dead and gone. Amen. I loved it. But see, he wants to divide. He wants to destroy. He wants to do all those things. Now, in my family, I had my son backslid for a long time. And then, you know, in that course, it pulls your grandchildren out because they quit going. But the restoration work began there, too, because now my granddaughter has moved in with me. I picked her up last August when I went through Washington State. And now after 12 years, my son's coming to see me and said he wanted me to pray for him. Amen? He's a restoring God, so don't give up hope. He's faithful. Absolutely faithful. But instead of going, oh God, I don't know if I can make it through tomorrow. Start rejoicing. Hallelujah. I'm more than a conqueror. I can glorify and praise you, Jesus, in the worst situations. Actually, I did that while I was in the middle of a heart attack. I told him, I said, man, you just don't quit, do you, devil? First, it's cancer 3 times. Get hit by a 3/4-ton pickup as a pedestrian. I said, and now you try to hit me with a couple of heart attacks. And I'm still here.
Hallelujah.
You're such an idiot. In the middle of the last heart attack I had, I got my granddaughter. I said, start worshiping. Oh, and I said, ooh, Jesus, I love you. And they said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to the camp meeting in Dayton. Why? Because I'm healed.
Hallelujah.
Was I scared? No. Am I going to get scared? No. Devil's a liar. If you just close your eyes, everybody thinks the devil's so big. Really, he's just a little fur ball about like that. Stinks real bad. Tries to convince you in your mind that you're a failure, that you're going to lose all your family, that you're going to die any minute now. I've had 4 minutes up, I don't know how long ago. They keep, you know, 3 death sentences, all sorts of stuff. But I told them, I said, I'm here until I get daggone good and ready to go, and not a minute before. I'll preach till I'm 120. God will say, go sit down. I'm taking you home, Donner Bell. And I go, okay. So, we don't have to receive what he tries to send. But I can assure you on a daily basis, witchcraft is getting sent against every Christian that walks, every person that talks. And some of the worst witchcraft is Christian witchcraft. Wrong prayers. Lord, destroy them like you did in the days of old. And their cheeks shake back and forth for 15 minutes. Get them. Rain fire on their head. It's crazy. And then turn around shortly after they do that and go, oh, I love you, Jesus. I'll worship you. Kill them, Lord. I love you. This is ridiculous. I had somebody come up and tell me that they prayed that I would fail because I was too out there. And I said, honey, you ain't seen out there until you've seen the devils I've seen. I said, you'd be screaming and running into your little closet because they're ugly, they're mean, and they're real precise on how they're going to attack you. First round, he told me he's going to kill all my kids, and I said, you can't. My son had a stroke. That was supposed to be my first warning to quit. As you see, I'm still here, and that was over 10 years ago. He will attack the weakest link in your family to try to make you give up. And he'll attack your children. He'll attack your grandchildren, your friends, your friends' friends. You get the picture. So he hasn't quit. A devil a day ought to keep you on your toes. Tell him I used to know because I came fully loaded. I was so devil-possessed. That's where I got that expression. See, I was this far from actually killing people. And I wouldn't have felt bad about it at the time. It takes a while to come out of that kind of stuff at times. If you don't have a teacher, and at the time I didn't have one. I was alienated by self, mostly, but some by lies in my family. I got alienated in some groups of our family for 30 years. And then I alienated myself from my brothers and the rest of my family for 15 years. Because I just didn't, at that point in time in my life, I really just didn't care. Then I went into battle for my granddaughter. And I said, okay, Lord, let's make a deal here. You give us custody of her and I'll come and serve you all my days. Because I thought I had gone too far for him to ever forgive me. So that's what you do when you think you're a flop and a failure. You go, well, let's make a deal here. If I do all this, maybe God will love me again. He's never quit. Well, we got custody of my granddaughter against all odds. And I haven't broke my word to him. I'm still serving him. I loved it when I heard about the children getting filled with the Holy Spirit, because that's when I got her filled, when she was 3. Of course, I told on her. She'll be 18 next week. And I told on her to Miss Candy when they were out at conference. I said, yep, when she was little, she'd go, hallelujah, hallelujah. I said, what are you going to be when you grow up, Jess? I'm going to be like Benny Hinn. She wanted to do those miracles, you know. She was drawn to them. Now God's restored her. I'm so excited with what He's doing. He's an awesome God. And instead of hanging your head in shame and sorrow because you messed up, or because you're going through a tribulation and you haven't seemed to get the victory, sometimes it just takes a little time. You know, I'll be 62 this month. Hallelujah. And I told him, I said, I had years to accumulate a horrible life. And I made sure that I did. I made so many bad choices. It was horrible. You know, for the ones that don't know me here, I was married 4 times. I was a witch. I was horrible. God can pick out good things for you. You know? I remember Bronk telling me one time, he said, don't you want to get married one more time to see what a good marriage is like? And I said, no, sir, my biological clock isn't ticking. I married Jesus, and I'm happy with Him. Amen. But I know God could send one if I wanted one. See, I don't have no anger, no bitterness, no matter how bad it was. The devil picked them. What do you expect? God taught me about frying pan deliverances. No Teflon with me, honey. Cast iron. Every woman should have one hanging on her kitchen wall with a bow on it. I'll get you one before I leave, Davy. And we'll put a bow on it and tell them it is just a kitchen plaque. Sad part of it is I really used them. I don't recommend that to anybody. But you know, if the fella beat you up, just bop him good. A quick one, you just go, bam. You don't hit him too hard because you don't want to kill him. But you can knock their lights out if you do it easy. Just fast. Are you sure you want me to preach the rest of the week, bro? Self-defense. What can I say? It's much better I knock them out than the angels. You know what I mean? I mean, if one angel can lose 70,000 people, you'd be better just let me knock you out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I have reformed. Although some people didn't think so when I got my concealed weapons license. I just like guns. Well, you like them too, bro. Those deers didn't fall over when they saw you. That's what I love about the man. He likes backstrap. Okay, women, we'll secretly meet over here in the next building. No. You go, ready, aim, fire. The policeman, when I took my test, he said, you've shot a gun before, haven't you? And I go, a long time ago. We used their guns. It took me about 5 minutes to be able to group. You know, because you got to get used to every gun. They're all different. About five rounds, and I'm like getting into the center, you know. And he goes, you've done this before. Long time ago, sir. I sure appreciate all you're teaching me. Love it. In 1 Peter 4:12-19, I'm going to read it to you because we really need to rejoice. We have an awesome God, don't we? He's got a major sense of humor. I'm here. Amen. I've seen miracles after miracles after miracles. I was always in awe that God would actually use me. I've seen cancers healed. I have seen a lot of things. Families restored. And you're rejoicing. See, the key was to be happy even if it wasn't yours at the moment. You don't know how many times I sat there and praised God with friends when we believed their children in and mine was still out in the world. Mine are coming in. It's not an option. That's what I told them. They get so mad when they talk to me. I said, God loves you. I said, He hasn't changed His mind about your call. I said, so when you're through running, I'll be here. And I told him, I said, and God does have your number, by the way. I used to tell people that about my son. They said, are you worried about him? I go, nope. God's got his number, and I think right about now He's giving him a call. Amen. I can't believe it. Next Saturday, I'll see him. I'm excited. How many of you know he's going to get totally delivered and set free? Thank you, Jesus. He gets aggravated at me. I call him my bouncing baby boy. He'll be 46 this month. I said, you'll always be my baby, honey. Although I'm glad you become a man. Okay, it says, beloved, think not it strange concerning the fiery trials which try you, as though some strange thing has happened to you. Did you ever just wake up that morning and go, I wonder if there's an assignment against my life? You know, you got hit by a truck. You went through upteen divorces. And then on your birthday, they call you up and tell you you have cancer. I've had all those things happen. Somebody told me one time, do you think there's an assignment against you? And I go, you think? But rejoice inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when His glory shall be revealed, you may be also with exceeding joy. See, I don't see too many happy people when they're going through the fire. Every day I'd worship Him, and the last time they told me I was dying, and I'd tell them, I just love you, Lord, and I thank you that I'll live and not die. And Bronk remembers when all that hit me, when all that laughing and carrying on. A lot of people thought it was fake. It wasn't. People got healed when I touched them. Rows and rows would fall out laughing. I was so grateful to be healed and restored. And what the biggest thing He had to heal in me was a broken heart. See, those broken hearts, they'll just open the door to a ton of other things. And He's taught me more and more and more. It's a choice on what we choose to receive. You can choose to be offended. You can choose not to forgive. You can choose to keep going down that path. He won't stop you. But He sure loves you. And He'll give you every opportunity to let it go. Every opportunity. Because He loves you. Those are the open doors, unforgiveness is, and strife, to not being healed. It's not the only door. Some of it's, you know, assignments that have built up against you in your life and you didn't know how to break them. It's not always because you did something wrong, like people try to preach. Sometimes you're attacked because you did something right. You know, with me it was I did a lot wrong. So it was, I hung on to the bitterness and unforgiveness like a banner. God had to really work on me to let go of that stuff. And now I'm grateful that He did. He never let go of me because I was still hungry for Him. Amen. It said, if you be a reproach for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rest upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part He is glorified. In verse 15 it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer. And so I was a real evildoer. I really did put, and I would launch demons out against people. And things would happen to them. I can share more of that tonight. or as a busybody. Nobody here is a busybody, are they? In other men's matters. Some people call those prayer requests. They got to talk about them for 40 minutes. So they can't just say, well, so-and-so needs prayer. They're going through a battle. I've had people expound to me way past what I needed to know. And some of it's okay. I mean, you know, it's the right spirit, the right heart, but some of it really isn't. Some of it really is just a matter of gossip. It said, yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it first begin at us, how many of you have judged yourself? I mean, it's easy to judge other people, but how many of you have judged yourself? When I told the Lord, rain fire on their head, you don't know what they've done to me. He said, I loved you when you were an abomination. And I thought, ooh, ouch. But it's true. It says, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Now see, if you really get a revelation there, that people aren't going to make it if they don't change, changes your whole outlook on them. No Christian in the right spirit would ever want somebody to be punished or go to hell. Amen. He said, and if the righteous scarcely be saved, so that's all us good guys. Right? Where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Because there's some ungodly Christians. Some of them I don't believe are really saved, because I think if you have an encounter with Jesus, you want to change. I just don't think that, you know, I've seen a lot of people confess that Jesus is their Lord, but they never let him be Lord of their life. And they were just as mean and ugly as they were 10 years later. I don't believe some of them are really saved. When I got saved, I had an encounter with God that changed my whole life. And no matter how bad it got, I didn't want to lose him. Kept me hanging in. It says, wherefore, let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him, as well as doing as unto a faithful Creator. Amen. We have got to let go of stuff. Stuff will eat your lunch. Stuff will make you always miserable and unhappy. I used to tell people, I said, if I was the devil, I'd look around for the most miserable looking person there, and I'd go after them. Because you'd see the joy of the Lord wasn't their strength. Amen. So if they're running around looking. And not saying there's not a right place for things. There's a time for weeping. There's a time for sorrow, grieving. There's a different season for everything. But on average, you should be happy just because you're born again. Amen. You should be rejoicing because your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You should be rejoicing because not only did he do that, he gave you the benefits of healing, prosperity. He gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you authority over every devil, every principality, every power, every ruler of darkness. And we still sit like this. And I'm going, that is what blew me out of the water when I first got born again, because he appeared to me when I was a witch. I knew he had more authority than Satan, and none of the Christians I was around knew that. I said, but you don't understand. I said, no, you don't understand. He is greater than our enemy. Amen? So today we're going to receive more of him, more of our authority, and we're going to blow the devil out of the water. Amen? Nobody's going to quit. Nobody. So you think of everything you got ailing your body. You think of where you want to go in the Lord, and then come up here, and we will have a grace line for whatever it is you need. It's called a no reason line. We're going to have one just because we want to. Amen. So if you're having trouble with unbelief, if you're having trouble with pornography, if you're having trouble with addictions, if you have an illness in your body, or you just want to step up a little closer to God, get up here. Amen. Amen.